Loud and clear. Clear. The clock has started.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Now tuned in to this week's episode of our podcast. Today we are going to interview some of the greatest and most influential minds in our field. By sharing our collective expertise, we will show you how to harness, control, and use your own skill set to achieve ultimate success and live the life you want. And now, please welcome your host.
Welcome to this week's Smallest Cast podcast. This podcast is designed for small government contractors, service providers, and manufacturers as part of the government contractor ecosystem, connecting people, organizations, and resources. Today, I've got our CEO, Dennis Cater, with us, and I'm your host, Just Nate. Welcome, Dennis.
Thanks, Nate. Glad to be here today. Excited about today's guest.
We actually have two guests with us tonight. We've got the CEO of Devil Dog Cybersecurity, Isaac James, and their CTO, Steve Beatty. Welcome, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, sounds good. I mean, we're glad that you guys were able to attend with us. You know, we've kind of known all of you guys for quite a while now, and we definitely wanted to get you guys on your very own podcast here. So I'm glad you guys were able to join us.
Yeah, this is a good time to talk about, you know, what's going on with federal contractors and then CMMC. So good timing.
Well, and for those listeners out there, the reason we're bringing Devil Dog Cybersecurity on is because they are experts in compliance for federal contractors, to include NIST 800-171 and the new CMMC certifications. So that's kind of what we're going to be talking about today. So why don't you, Isaac, give us a rundown of Devil Dog kind of in a couple minute overview of what you guys are focusing on right now.
Okay. Well, you know, Devil Dog, we're based in the Denver, Colorado area. We do a ton of work in, you know, pretty much in the state of Colorado. But our basic focus is compliance. And we started out doing NIST 800-171, okay? And then obviously that evolved into the CMMC. And that's the core of our business. Our engineers, you know, pretty much know it inside and out. When you guys talk to Steve, I don't think there's that many people that have the depth of knowledge that Steve has in regards to the CMMC, in the market right now. So I think we just have one area that we really specialize in, which is the CMMC and the NIST 800-171. So
nice.
Did I miss something there, Steve?
No, that sounds perfect. Yeah, that's what we do.
So talk to me, Steve, talk to me about your role in the company. What are you focusing on?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. So my background is doing a bunch of things in federal government, DOD, and otherwise, other three-letter and four-letter acronym sorts of places. And so I was, most recently at NCAR, the National Center for Atmospheric Research in Boulder, and shepherded essentially the NIST 853 FISMA and FedRAMP into that organization. And since I've been involved in some 800-171 work, and then of course now in the CMMC, I've sat on panels and those sorts of things around these federal regulations. And so spend probably too much time thinking and working and worrying about them. And so these days, trying to keep on top of everything that's going on. And as it turns out, of course, there's a whole lot going on. Even in today's, you know, current situation, there's a lot going on in the CMMC realm.
Yeah, well, so one of you, probably Steve, if you can give me a background, you know, as an engineer myself, I've heard of NIST 800-171. I've read through a lot of it, and now we have CMMC. Can you walk through the history of how cybersecurity kind of took place, let's say over the last 10 years even?
Yeah, absolutely. So
You know, if, let's just stick to the DoD to simply just simplify things here, because there's been a lot of other things that have come and gone, and they're actually, you know, still on the rise. There's a lot of work being done, of course, for obvious reasons in cybersecurity. But the DoD essentially, a bunch of years ago, said, look, we need to pay more attention to cybersecurity. And so took then what is the National Institute for Standards and Technology. There's a whole bunch of course, what we know is the 800 series of cybersecurity recommendations. And they said, look, 171 is where we want to be. 171, as it turns out, what we call R1. And for the contractors, we need them to come up to speed on cybersecurity. And so the thing with 171 is that there was some, I guess, if you will, some loopholes with it. And the loopholes were, number one, it was what we call self-attestation. That is, an organization said, hey, we've done everything you've asked. And they talked to their prime, and the prime gave them what we call an ATO, an authority to operate, and life is good. It was also the case that with 171, you were allowed what we call POAMs. And a POAM then is a plan of action and milestone. And you could get an ATO, an authority to operate, even if you hadn't done everything. Even if you said, look, we haven't done this particular thing in 171, but we're going to get around to it over the next some number of years. Part of the problem was is that some number of years tended to stretch out, because once you got an ATO, people essentially ignored you. And it became clear to folks in DoD and the Defense Industrial Base that this just wasn't going to continue to work with all the stuff that was essentially all of the intellectual property, et cetera, that was stolen. And so they essentially created then from 171 and other places this CMMC, the Cybersecurity Maturity Model Certification. And so it takes 171. So 171 has 14 different areas, 14 different domains, and adds to that. And so there are now 17 different domains. And CMMC also adds in processes, which talks about then the maturity of an organization when it comes to cybersecurity. And so it's these processes that document the maturity. And there are no POAMs. And so you either are or you aren't. There are five different levels. And so everybody who consults with the DoD, who DoD pays, has to be at least at level one. And these are the folks not even dealing with any sort of, you know, sensitive information. These are the people mowing the lawns and seamstresses at the Air Force Academy, people who are making skill craft pens, nothing particularly interesting other than what we call FCI, right? Federal contract information. The next big level up is three, and three has what we call CUI, which is controlled unclassified information. And so if an organization has that kind of information from DoD, then they have to be at a level three. Level one has essentially 17 different practices, but no processes. Level three cranks it up pretty high. You have 130 practices and five processes that you must document. And these are not checklists. These have to be then customized essentially for every single business. And so that is a rather large amount of information. 171, the historic, was much more of a checklist sort of thing, and especially since there weren't processes. And so the CMMC is a bigger lift for folks, but it's essentially going to be required. Another difference between 171 that I sort of alluded to earlier is that 171, once you self-attested and got an ATO, people generally left you alone. That's not going to be the case anymore, and that you will have to be essentially assessed every 3 years by, and here's the interesting point too, by somebody outside of your organization. So a certified assessor. And so there are now plans put to train a whole bunch of assessors to then assess organizations and accredit those organizations to operate at a particular CMMC level. So lots more stuff going on. And as it turns out, all the RFIs and RFPs that are starting to come out will have been the CMMC level that's required. There was discussion on the 21st, May 21st, on that by the end of this year, the expectation is that 15 major contracts will have a CMMC level. And while that doesn't sound like much, those would be contracts in general to the primes. And the estimate is with those 15 contracts, there will have to be then 1,000 assessments that take place by the end of 2020. So there is a whole lot going on, training of assessors, the saying what is and what is not CUI, and then the choosing of which of the 15 major contracts are going to essentially be the first to go.
So, okay, so there was a whole lot there. I want to unpack a little bit of here.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, that's good. But I want to take just a couple steps back and kind of take these little chunks at a time here. Sure. So you pretty much stated the one thing that my biggest fear is for small government contractors, and these are people that are not even primes. These could be subs or subs to subs. Everybody mm-hmm. needs to be at least at a level one, correct?
Yep, right.
So I think that's what's gonna I don't want to say freak out other small contractors, but I think that's something that's not known, and I think the government's gonna have a tough time getting that out there.
Well, and the government also has 5 years to get everybody there. So if you're, 3 years into a contract, you don't have to do it now. So people are grandfathered. And if you're level one, it is essentially there are 17 practices, and this is essentially basic cyber hygiene. Do you have antivirus? Do you have good passwords? Those sorts of things. And so while it is a big deal for the level one folks, the bigger deal probably not just putting these practices in place is documenting them and being able to survive an audit and being able to show an assessor that you're doing these 17 practices.
Okay. So one of the questions I've kind of been trying to figure out is how does CMMC correlate if my company is already ISO 9001 or 9000 certified, plus let's say I'm CMMC certified, how does CMMI, those are my processes already. So is this just duplicating effort or how does that focus on together?
Yeah, it's a great question. So there is some overlap and that's a positive thing. There is quite a bit of overlap with 171. So if corporations have already gone, a contract has already gone 171, they're part of the way there. If you've done CMMI, CMMC is based on CMMI. And so if you're already doing CMMI for your software processes, then you're familiar with the processes essentially probably that you need to put into place for CMMC. ISO 9000, ISO 27000, again, you are part of the way there because you've documented your processes. However, it is not, those aren't, if you will, supersets of what you need to do for CMMC. So while there is some overlap, it is certainly not perfect.
Okay. I'm just kind of curious of whether or not if a assessor comes in and sees, say 5 years from now and say I'm already CMMC certified level 3.
Yeah.
And the ISO auditor comes in, are they going to consider my CMMC processes as part of my ISO certification?
That's a really interesting question, and I guess I'm going to have to say I don't know, but I would be surprised if they did not, because everybody is sort of interrelated. So, the fact ISO is interested in process documentation, and that is part, of course, of what CMMC does.
Sure.
So, yeah, I would say that would be a very positive thing that you've documented your processes, regardless whether it's 9,000 or 27,000, you have documented processes, which is a very positive thing.
Okay. So, Isaac, back to you then. Can you tell me what is your business model? What is Devil Dog Cybersecurity business model around CMMC? What's your idea?
Well, I think CMMC is very confusing to a lot of people, okay? Because, first of all, you have to figure out what level you're at, okay? Then you've got to, you know, once you figure that out, then you have to actually get everything in order, get the documentation in order, implement the solutions. So what our business model is more of a helping hand, where what we've done is we've created a free assessment that we give out at pretty much anyone on the CMMC and the NIST 800-171. So most firms are going to charge you for an assessment. We'll go in and we will assess all 17 domains if you're at a level 3 and let you know how you rate on that. Okay. And then we'll even outline areas that we're concerned with that are, you know, that may not even be as part of they might not be part of the CMMC, but let's say you don't have a firewall. Okay. Just areas of concern that we have. So that's how we start out the relationship in our business model, is giving people a free assessment. Once we've given them an assessment, we also give them a proposal for you know, what they need to have implemented and the costs. Just FYI, we have our pricing model is a little bit different than everyone else also, because we don't charge a set rate. We have every solution is going to be different and it's going to be customized. So what we do is we do a monthly subscription. And the reason we do a monthly subscription is most companies can't have a, you know, difficult time writing a check for a large amount of money, especially considering the current climate. So what we do is we do a 3-year subscription where they pay us for the solution. They can get the solution right away. And along the way, what we do is we maintain the solution and maintain the fact that they're going to be CMMC, because the CMMC is constantly changing. There's going to be another revision coming out. You know, Steve, do you know when the next new revision is supposed to come out? Is it in June?
Yeah, I think that's it, although I've heard 2 rumors, so I'm not really sure.
Okay. So we're currently at CMMC model version 1.02, just for people to understand where we're at. Right?
Yeah. So what we're doing is we're not only are we maintaining their compliance, we're also going to upgrade them as the different versions come out. So it's basically an affordable pricing model with that's a 3-year model, and almost everyone at a level 3 has to get recertified after 3 years anyway. So it's very complementary to what's going on with the CMMC. So you get a free assessment, and then we stay with you, and then you also get a quarterly review. So we'll come in, we will review your infrastructure, your cybersecurity posture every quarter, make sure all your patches have been upgraded, talk about new threats and help develop other solutions that you might need, you know, because most companies they're not flat, they're dynamic. So every month or every quarter, things are changing in a company. So we want to address those issues as they develop.
So you're kind of acting in the role of consultants, is that correct? Or are you actually helping do the patches on their computers and everything?
Both.
Okay. So with that 3-year subscription, do you guys guarantee within X amount of time that you can get that company CMMC certified to whatever level they need to be?
Guaranteed is a funny word. We're going to give.
I like guarantees, you know.
what I'll say is we will do our best to get them compliant within, you know, 3 months, 3 to 6 months is what we say on average, depending on, you know, the complexity of the solution, right? It's a company with 500 employees and, you know, with remote locations is going to be much more difficult to, you know, implement a solution for them than a company of 10 people that are, you know,
sure,
that have one server, right?
Yeah. So, and I'll pile onto that a little bit. We can't, I mean, we're going to make recommendations. We're going to be there for them. But if they don't take our recommendations, if they don't, you know, continuously keep on top of their cybersecurity policy, there's no way anybody can guarantee CMC certification.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, they have to be willing to obviously that, you know, that's, and I'm sure that's probably all part of your guys' assessment as you guys sit down and discuss their options and let them know, okay, so what do you want to go after? So you guys can assess at what level they need to be. Do they need to be at a one or do they need to be at a five, you know?
Right, right. But it's a very user-friendly model because we can be their, you know, we can be their outsourced cybersecurity company. So they don't have to bring in a CISO. A CISO's will cost you at least salary-wise, at least $120 a year plus benefits. So you're looking at probably about $170 a year. They can outsource all of it to us and we can do it for a fraction of the cost. You know, and amortize over 3 years, which is even cheaper.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. Dennis, what kind of questions did you have?
Well, before we met, we were talking a little bit with Isaac and Steven, and I did want you to talk a little bit more about the company. You're talking now about kind of the service you provide with CMMC and the NIST standards. But where are you guys located? Where's your client base? You know, what areas are you focused on right now? I know CMMC and NIST. Is there anything else? Let's just start there.
So, Dennis, great question. We're based in Denver, okay? But what's interesting is most of our clients are in the vicinity of the Colorado Springs area. That being the reason that is because, you know, Colorado Springs is very dependent on the Department of Defense. So the DOD has a large influence. And it's interesting, a lot of companies in Denver don't even know about the CMMC. Government contractors that we've talked to in Denver don't even know what it is. So the word hasn't gotten around about the CMMC. We're actually going to be giving a class in July to the contractors in Denver. Hopefully we get a good turnout, but Denver has a very diverse ecosystem in regards to different industries. Whereas the Colorado Springs, there's a strong influence of the DOD. So that's why we have a lot of work down there. In addition to that, we've got a division that does oil and gas. And we're also looking, we haven't done this yet, but we're also looking at doing government contracts in addition to that. So,
I'll also say that we've been talking with people in the Beltway back in DC, and this is interesting too. And it's also been announced recently that we've been talking with an international company or two, and the DOD has contracts with international companies, and they're also going to have to be CMMC certified. And so, I'd also suggest that a lot of companies are taking this, well, you know, we've had all these things through the years and we've always got POAMs and DOD can't live without us. So we're just going to have a wait and see attitude. And I'll just be honest with you, this, I don't think that's the correct approach on this one. I think we've all experienced the whole hurry up and wait sort of thing when dealing with the government at some level or another. But this one, appears to me to be different than some of the other ones, that they are charging full speed ahead. They have said that the coronavirus situation is not going to slow them down. And so I do expect by the end of the year, there will have been 1,000, assessments done. And so, and it's not going to stop happening. And it's going to be, as Isaac has pointed out, he's going to be a marketing differentiator. And I've been in meetings where they say, well, not everybody's going to do this. And so people are going to go out of business. And the people presenting just sort of shrug and say, well, if you're not willing to do this, you're not willing to work with the DOD.
Yeah, I think it's coming. It's coming. It's coming a lot faster than I expected it to.
Yeah.
So back to your class you're offering or your session that you're offering. We'll gladly help you advertise it, Isaac. So please send us the information. We can help you get the word out. I'd also suggest, you know, Boulder's got a big community up there of defense contractors. And then, as you know, Aurora and then Pueblo, You've been down there several times as well. I'm assuming you're willing to work anywhere in the state if there's a government contractor or other entity that would like you, your services or support, you'd be willing to help them out, right?
Of course. Of course. I mean, we've got some, we're willing to go anywhere to for the right business, right? Yeah, that's not an issue. I think that there's just, you know, there's the level of awareness for the CMMC in the Colorado Springs market is far greater than any other market we've seen so far. So, and also the East Coast, Steve brought up the Beltway. A lot of companies there that are aware of it.
Isaac, how big is the company, Devil Dog?
We've got 15 partners in the company. Okay. And so between the 15 partners and then we've also got engineers and stuff like that too. So,
okay. So back to Steve again, real quick. One of the other questions I had as you were talking, I wrote a couple things down here. So those of us that have been in DOD contracting for a while, we've went through the pain of the government automatically taking these weapon systems and wanted to have DIACAT packages back in the day, which then turned into an ATO. And now there are RMF packages that they're doing. What I want to know is do you see the CMMC certifications affecting RMF now into something new? Or because I remember there for a year or two, I was trying to get ATOs for some of my systems that I was designing, building, and getting put out there. And at one point they'd be like, oh, we're never giving ATOs again. It's just going to be ATTs or IATOs. IATOs is interim authority to operate. And that would last for 6 months. And it would take us a year to get a DIACAT package through. Then they give you a 6 month IATO. And I'm like, well, this makes zero sense. That's like taking one step forward and two steps back.
Right.
And then, of course, then they had the ATT, which was the system that I was working on was tracking antenna tracking system. So with command and control system. So there's authority to transmit. So do you see any updates kind of happening there with the CMMC?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. And so I hate to duck the question, but I don't know. And so I assume that if those ATTs and those sorts of things had come out of a federal contract, that it might be the CMMC will just essentially be required at some level. And then I think the bigger question for me is the ATT in addition to, and I guess my assumption is, yeah, because those are two different things, right? One is, do you have your cybersecurity up to snuff? And the other then is, do you have a specific system that needs to operate under a possibly different set of regulations? And so I see this to a certain degree as being an addition to some of the historic things that we've seen. But I am speculating.
Okay. Well, you had also mentioned somebody made the comment that there's 15 major contracts by the end of the year that need to have CMMC certification requirements attached to them, which would mean 1,000, maybe level 3 certifications by the end of the year, right? Or assessments made.
That's
but
the plan.
We're now closing in on June 1st, and my understanding CMMC is not at a point yet where there's no certification out there yet, right? I mean, there's no certifying body. Yeah. Or
that is exactly right. There is the certifying body, and it's called the CMMC Accreditation Board. So if you go to cmmcab.org, those are the folks that are going to, that are in charge. They've got an MOU with the DOD. And so those are the folks that are going to do it. What hasn't yet happened is there are no assessors. And so that's, you know, kind of the big question mark. There is training underway. The training is being developed, and it's an interesting sort of process. First, if you're interested in becoming an assessor, you actually go through several steps. And those steps are, the first thing you have to be is a CMMC professional, and they're estimating between 24 and 30 hours of training to do that. Once you've done that, then you can become an assessor, and that will be an additional 16 to 24 hours of training. I think many of us are assuming there's going to be a tool set available. There have been tool sets available for 171, but it's going to be more than, again, kind of a checkbox tool set thing going on. And so you're absolutely right. There's a whole lot of work to be done. between now and the end of the year to make all of this happen. And so,
That's actually, so you actually hit upon something there that, so you're saying that all this training needs to happen. Do you see maybe a new certification coming out of colleges to train people on how to be assessors?
Yes, absolutely. So there is then several, and the first two I mentioned, the professional and the assessor are the first two. There is then a certified instructor and a certified master instructor who instructs instructors. So there is going to be this very large hierarchy of folks that are essentially going to be blessed by, if you will, the CMMCAB. And so, yeah, there's at least four different roles here: master instructor, instructor, assessor, and professional. And all of them will require a certain amount of training or will be providing that training. And so the word from the CMMCAB is there's never been this large of an undertaking before, and especially on this sort of timeline. And so they're expecting to need quite a few people to do this. The what's called certified assessors, the C3 PALs, as we call them, there have been some out there before, and we can look around to the organizations that have done assessments before. And so there are a number of assessments out there. For example, Sarbanes-Oxley. If you look at, there have been, and you and I can name what the Sarbanes-Oxley auditors, the major corporations that do that. There have been PCI auditors and assessments done through the years. And so there are models for this. However, this is bigger when we're talking about the number of organizations. The number that's bandied about in general for DoD contractors is 300,000. And of course, some of those organizations are quite small. But regardless, having to have all of those assessed at least once every 3 years is going to take an incredible number of assessors, instructors, master instructors, et cetera.
One could make a career of that.
You know, one could make several careers of that, I believe.
So how does a company, say I'm company XYZ, I come to you and say, hey, can I get a free assessment? How do I know what level I need to be at? Let's say I've got a top secret security or a top secret facility clearance. Does that give you any indication of what level I need to be at? Or, I mean, how does a company know?
You're at a five. If you've got a TS, you're at a five. And so I've got a skiff, that's a level five. Now, it will also be the case, and that's a really interesting question because this is a little different than the past. In the future, then, all of the RFPs will specify a specific CMMC level required to win that contract. So starting, they say RFIs in June and RFPs in November, the actual CMMC level will be specified in the contract.
Okay, so, but yeah, that's actually kind of interesting. I've been afeared of saying that or hearing that because the whole top secret facility clearance or just a facility clearance, I think I've heard a lot of companies talk that they were planning on just being at level three. And I didn't think that was correct if you have a facility clearance.
Yeah, if you have a facility clearance, a three is not going to do it. All right. In my opinion, none of us are going to know, right? None of us are going to know until the contracts come out, until the RFPs come out. But if you're running a skiff, that is way more than controlled, unclassified information. That is classified information. There's no reason to run a skiff or have a facility. And so,
if I go pull the CMMC model down from acq.osd.mil/CMMC, there is no... To my understanding, there is no, if you will, matrix table in there to tell me, oh, if I do this type of contracting and this is what level I should be looking towards.
Not exactly. But what they are saying is if you have federal contract information, FCI, that gives you a one. If you have CUI, that's a three. And most people are saying there's no reason to have either a two or a four. And so if you have secret or top secret, the assumption is that's a five. And by the way, fours and fives are reviewed every year, not every 3 years.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
And does a company have to pay to have these reviews done, or is that just an assessor like DCAA that comes in and does it or whatever?
So a little bit of both, and that's a work in progress too. And so in general, though, it is the company's responsibility to pay for the practices and for the audits. It does appear that the federal government's going to chip in a little money to help this happen. It also appears, and well, this is a fact, that ongoing security costs may now be written into the contract itself. And so there are a couple of lines, L&M, in the general contracts that you can say what the ongoing costs are. Up to this point, we couldn't in general call out cybersecurity in general specifically. Now we can do that. And so we can say then what our cybersecurity costs are going to be. It's not just general overhead costs.
And that's ongoing, though. So that means that after you get certified the first time, the next time you try to get a contract or you have to come up with your three-year renewal, then you can probably put that into your contract, right?
That's exactly right. And there's been discussion, as you've mentioned, that maybe federal government is going to find some funds to help make this happen. There's also, we've been discussing with Upprime saying, look, you've got a lot of subs. How are you going to help them? Are you going to help them? What does that look like? I can't speak for them, but I think there is going to be at least some interest because the primes can't do without their subs to supporting them in some way to get to CMMC.
Okay, Dennis, I'm going to shut up now and let you talk for a little bit. What kind of questions do you have?
No, this is all really good. And as you know, my background, I've done cyber here for the last few years, supporting a government customer as well. And so I've seen this coming, and I've been involved with OSD as they're trying to push this stuff out. And DevilDog now for the past, I believe, 2 years now, and kind of their efforts and spearheading getting companies set up, or at least offering to help get companies set up for the coming CMMC tsunami. And I know they've given lots of classes and have been big supporters of the smalls coming down and talking to folks. I would just suggest that, you know, if your company is not ready for the coming CMMC wave, haven't even thought about it or looked at it, to get a hold of DevilDog. And that's kind of where I was going next, was how do people get a hold of you? I thought that's where you're going, Nate, where you start asking, well, how do they do this? So how do they get a hold of you? You know, if they need to start just the discussion and the dialogue with you, what's the best way to do that?
You know, they can go directly to our website. It's devildogcyber.com. Okay.
And why DevilDog, Isaac?
Why DevilDog?
Hoorah.
Two of the founders are former Marines. And actually, Steve and I were both in the Marine Corps when we were younger men. We were in the old Corps, as they say now.
So, were you guys working together in the Corps?
No.
I was in artillery. Steve, what did you do, by the way?
A variety of things. I tend not to talk about these things.
Okay, but regardless, we were brainstorming for a name for the company, and we noticed that almost everybody in the company, all the partners were former military guys, and then we came up with DevilDog, and it everybody liked it, so we just went with it. So that's how we became DevilDog.
I do like that name.
I love it. But that's part of our DNA, right? Because we spend our time in songs. It's a part of you never leave the Marine Corps once you join. So
you'd never know that with Isaac's cherry red car with the Marine Corps symbol on the front hood and the flag waving on the back. But we won't talk about that.
Doesn't he have a turd on top too? I mean, that's the American way right there.
No, but he does have a piece of artillery in his front yard, but that's another story.
Well, you know, we say that once you go to boot camp, the brain damage has been done. So,
right.
But
that's right.
Look, one of the things, guys, that I'll say that about our firm is that the team, the engineers, their depth of knowledge in the CMMC far surpasses a lot of companies I've seen out there. There's very few companies in Colorado that have the depth of knowledge that our team has. And we can implement a solution pretty fast, you know, depending on a level one, we can get done in less than a month. And if we had to, we could probably do it in a week. And a level three, we can usually get done within 3 months. So,
we have some amazing engineers.
Certainly do. So I think that, and realistically, if people reach out to us, they have nothing to lose because we're going to give them a free assessment, give them a report card of exactly where they're at and where they stand and what they need to have done. So there's, they, you know, genuinely have no skin off their back. It's, they have nothing to lose when we do an assessment for them. All right.
So just one last question for you guys that I kind of had. Well, yeah, maybe the last one. Are you guys seeing a problem with, are you going to see a problem with BYOD, bring your own devices? I mean, that's the way the world has kind of went to.
Yeah, right. So that's huge. And so we have, that's one of the big sticking points. There's no question about that. And
I mean, small businesses, especially if their employees are willing to pay, you know, bring their own $2,000 computer into work, you know, that's been kind of the last 2 years of the, how business has ran.
Yeah, no question about it. And what needs to happen is it's not a no, a yes, and how do we make sure that those BYOD devices are managed such that they fit under the CMMC umbrella? And so we all know it'd probably be easier if we didn't allow BYOD, but maybe we do, and maybe we put them on a particular VLAN, and maybe they don't have access to everything else. And you know, same thing as two-factor authentication. That's just painful, right? A lot of people fight that. People do not want to carry around two cell phones. What does that mean, right? And so we have to then look at business model. We have to look at why are these things difficult? Maybe we can find some simplifications. Maybe we allow it. Maybe we're just going to say, look, we can't recommend this. And so here's an alternative. If more and more things go into the cloud, then actual end devices might matter less and less moving forward. And so there isn't a one size fits everybody, thou shall or thou shalt not. But BYOD, multi-factor authentication, individual devices, you know, multiple cell phones, those are all kind of question marks that we have to work through with people, with companies as to, you know, what's the best approach for them to be able to be audited successfully. Wow.
And like Isaac said, I think you're definitely going to see a CMMC model version 1.03 or whatever they change it to 1.1, whatever it's going to be the next one very soon. And I think a lot of it's going to change based on the year 2020, right? I mean, I've been DOD contractor for the last 19 years and I can't tell you what kind of pushback I've gotten for just simple things like, we definitely cannot have instant messaging turned on our computers. We definitely can't do Zoom meetings or anything like that. That's a horror. We got to drill out the camera systems on all of our devices. And, I've watched the government do a 180 shift in 60 days. I mean, if you tried to log into a government email system for the past 20 years, that's what you were doing that day, right? There's nothing else because it took you that long just to get in and get a couple emails done. Now, as of 2 weeks ago, they've completely changed and went to an Office 365 cloud, and I got through 400 emails on my government email system in 2 days. It was amazing because it kept me connected, which I haven't seen ever. So I think some of that's going to be changing.
I agree with that entirely. And so, you know, GCC High and Office 365 mail, awesome. Again, it's one of these things that we can put up in the cloud. We can put a set of practices, a set of controls, as we used to call them, and make sure that, you know, Excel can't happen while it still remains a completely usable system.
Which is also interesting because just 3 years ago, the cloud was like the devil, right? You definitely, God, what do you mean you put something in the cloud? That's for everybody to see. We can't do that. But now that's the preferred methodology. I think that's going to be something that you might end up seeing on cell phone manufacturers. And Samsung's been doing that for the last 3-4 years. They've got the Samsung Knox operating system built into it, KNOX. So they actually have two operating systems. So you could actually run one operating system while on business. And Knox is actually DoD certified. So I think you might start seeing some of that too.
No, I agree. And I think that's an awesome solution, right? That's one of the things that we can actually say, look, this is what we are doing. Here we can prove to you, because we are, if you will, managing the device, and people can't get to where they shouldn't get to from their Twitter accounts.
Yeah, obviously you're not going to see a sipper on your cell phone, but
no, for sure. But still, there, and I think your point is an excellent one too. When it comes to, you know, we've got to get work done, and we've got to do VPNs, and we've got to get to our emails on situations under situations where 3 months ago made no sense at all, or at least there was a lot of resistance around it 3 months.
Agreed. What kind of other questions you got, Dennis? You got anything else out there?
No, I think we covered it nicely. And I just ask that, again, companies out there, if you have any questions or concerns or just regarding cybersecurity in general or CMMC, to please reach out to DevilDog. Highly respect them and encourage folks to reach out.
Well, I am on their website, so I want to give a phone number out here if you guys don't mind. It's on your website, so I'm sure you don't care. Their phone number is 303-999-9396. And that's posted on their free assessment page at devildogcyber.com.
Great. Great.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Isaac, is there anything else you want to share about the company? Or
obviously, we're going to be giving some more classes in the Denver area. We'll let you know when we give our next class.
Okay, that sounds good. Yeah, we'll definitely get that information posted for you guys. We can send out emails for you and everything else to our listenership. And, you know, for those listening right now, we do have listeners overseas now, too. So we've got people listening in Germany, Italy, UK. I just saw yesterday. So thanks, everybody, for listening in to the Smallest Podcast. And we are going to say goodbye tonight to our DevilDog cybersecurity friends. And I want to say thank you guys for joining us this week. I've learned a lot. I think our listeners probably did, too. And I'm probably going to replay this thing over and over just so I can. I probably send it to my company saying, hey, you guys need to take a listen to this themselves.
Flattered. Thank you so much.
So,
no way. That's awesome.
So I appreciate your time, guys. And with that, I want to say thanks. And hopefully you guys stay safe, stay inside, and keep your social distancing out there. So till next week, guys. This is Just Nate signing off.
You've reached the end of another episode of The Smallest Podcast. Connect with us at thesmallest.org. Don't forget to sign up to our newsletter to receive our free materials. See you soon at the next episode.